CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Chief among my duties is to find and offer to you, nicely wrapped in drama, the most mysterious, intriguing, and, yes, terrifying tales to be found. I've come up with one this time that deals with quite ordinary people, people to whom you'd never expect the extraordinary to happen. But it does. Oh, yes, it does.
Are you perhaps just a little jealous, Mrs. Peterson, because I carry my years well?
Oh, you're well enough preserved and pretty enough. It's just that Emery's not that kind of man.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Peterson, the man doesn't live who isn't that kind of man. I would like to make a little wager.
I'm not a betting woman. But I wouldn't be afraid to put some money on a proposition like that.
Oh, Mrs. Peterson, you are a fool.
You want to put your money where your big mouth is.
You're really serious, aren't you? Well, it wouldn't be a matter of money. It would be something harder to come by than money.
Our mystery drama, Dr. Peterson's Pills, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Fielden Farrington and stars Rosemary Murphy and Leon Janney. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hi, this is Lloyd Haynes. When you give to your community's march against dystrophy, you're giving three different ways. First, you help support a worldwide research program to find a cure. Second, you give practical aid to patients in your community through one of MDA's free clinics and camps. And third, you help inform your neighbors about muscle disease. So when your Jerry Lewis volunteer calls on you, please make your gift to the march as generous as you can.
Dr. Emery Peterson has devoted his entire professional life to the small town of Appleton. This is his story and the story of the people who wish to honor him for his lifetime of service to their small community. Nothing mysterious about that, you say? Nothing sinister? Well, just wait and listen.
You want to know something, Daisy? The only reason I still make house calls? To get away from the sound of that darn telephone.
That's fine for the doctor, but it leaves the doctor's wife at home answering the phone and taking messages. You ever think of that?
I thought you said you were coming with me this afternoon.
Well, as long as your first stop is to see Agnes Sims, I thought I'd ride with you that far. I'll only be able to stay with her a half hour or so, though. Somebody has to be here. Don't forget your bag.
Oh, I've got it right here in my hand.
And your umbrella.
Now, it's not going to rain. Oh, for Pete's sakes, answer the phone, will you, before I lose my mind altogether.
Most likely left your keys in the car. Doctor's office.
This is Nikki Bell, Mrs. Peterson.
Oh, you again.
May I speak to the doctor, please?
He's not available right now. He always makes his rounds of an afternoon. I think you'd know that by now.
Well, can you tell me when he will be available?
Who is it, Daisy?
Just a minute, please. It's that woman again, that Nikki Bell.
Oh, all right, I'll speak to her.
What for? She's not a patient of yours.
Still, I think I'd better.
Make a liar out of me. Here.
Hello, Miss Bell.
Well, now, I thought you were out making your house calls.
She didn't say I was out. She just said I wasn't available. And she didn't think I was. Now, what can I do for you, Miss Bell?
Oh, you're so formal. Why don't you just call me Nikki?
All right, what can I do for you, Nikki?
Nikki, indeed.
I think it's about time we had a little talk, don't you, Emery? May I call you Emery?
No, I can't see you today. I can't see you until... Well, there's no way I can see you a minute before tomorrow night. Late at that.
I'm not considered a terribly patient woman, Emery. Surely you can find a free half hour somewhere in today's schedule.
I've got a half dozen house calls to make this afternoon. I'll probably have a waiting room half full by the time I finish supper. When I get rid of them, I'm going straight to bed. I'm no good to anyone if I don't get my sleep. Tomorrow, I'll have the same schedule, except I've got to go to some kind of a banquet in the evening and won't be home much before 10 or 11. Now, where can I fit you into a schedule like that?
If I had a stomachache, you'd find time for me, wouldn't you?
I'm trying to imagine you with a stomachache. I'll see you tomorrow.
I wish that woman would leave you alone.
The Lord knows, so do I, but she won't.
Well, what does she want from you?
Nothing for a loving wife to worry about. And now I've got to get out of here.
What was that about a banquet tomorrow night?
There's going to be one, that's all I know.
Ladies not invited?
As soon as I get any details, I'll pass them right along. Oh, now where'd I put my bag?
Right there on your desk.
Oh.
You left the keys in the car. I can see them from the window.
Well, come on if you're coming. I can't wait around here all afternoon.
Oh, Emery. Emery, come on in. Agnes, here's the doctor. Oh, brought Daisy along with him.
Come on in, both of you. Daisy, how sweet of you to come.
I can't stay but a little while.
And how are you feeling, Agnes? Better now?
Oh, much better, yes. I just felt a little flutter about an hour ago and took one of your pink pills.
I wouldn't want it to get around that I was neglecting Appleton's first lady.
You mean the mayor's wife gets preferential treatment?
Well, she'd better, as long as I'm the mayor.
Agnes, let me just listen to that heart of yours, hmm?
Emery, I came home for lunch and found her looking, well, I give her my word, more dead than alive. It frightened me. She was really fighting for her breath.
Heart seems strong enough now. Just let me check the blood pressure.
She overdoes. That's the trouble with her. All those committees, chairwoman of half of them. It's a wonder to me she doesn't just collapse altogether.
Not as long as I have Emery's little pink pills handy.
I made her take one when she was having her attack or whatever it was. Brought her right around.
I wish you'd tell me what's in those pills, Emery. They calm my heart right down. But I swear I've seen them work on flu cases, stomach aches, you name it. A Peterson pink pill will cure it. What are they?
All of us witch doctors have our secrets. Well, the blood pressure checks out pretty good. I don't think there's been any real damage done, but you better take it easy for a while, young lady.
Yum! What a bedside manner.
Now, Emery, can I steal 5 minutes of your valuable time?
Sure thing. You got a pain somewhere?
No, nothing like that. I just want to tell you something you may not know, although I expect you do. Never saw the day this town could keep a secret from you.
Well, people like to talk. It would be impolite of me not to listen.
Too much as you hate it. Hey, come on in the study, huh? Excuse us, ladies.
Anything we can't hear, you shouldn't say. Oh, go ahead. We'll be fine.
No, we won't be more than a few minutes.
Speaking of people working themselves to death, when is Emery going to let up a little?
Not in, as they say, the foreseeable future.
He ought to take better care of himself, if only for the sake of his patients. I don't know what this town would do without him.
Well, I'm trying to get him to take some kind of a vacation this summer, but be the first one we've had in 5 years if I succeed. You know, there is something that's worrying me more than how hard Emery works.
Oh, what's that?
Well, there's this woman, calls herself Nikki Bell.
Daisy, Emery and another woman? I don't believe it.
Oh, not like that. Good heavens, no. Nothing at all like that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
This is more like, I don't know, business, I guess. But it's the way she keeps after Emery. Every so often she comes to town and she just won't let up until she's had a long talk with Emery.
About what?
I don't know about what. They just sit in Emery's office and talk, and when she goes, Emery's always in such a foul mood I can hardly live with him.
Nikki Bell, you said? Well, I don't think I ever even heard anybody mention her name.
No, she's from out of town somewhere. I can't get Emery to tell me anything about her, where she lives or anything else.
Well, we've got a mystery right here in Appleton. Well, how long's it been going on, for heaven's sake?
Oh, years and years. Started shortly after we came to Appleton.
Well, you'd think Oliver would have said something to me about her, unless he's never met her either.
I doubt if he has. Nobody seems to have met her, but just Emery and me, of course.
Well, what does she look like?
Well, kind of brittle, you know what I mean? Dressed fit to kill, always in the latest styles, but never extreme. Must spend a fortune on clothes. I must admit, she hardly looks a day older than the first time I ever saw her.
Well, if it was me, I wouldn't stand for it.
If there was anything I could do to stop it, I'd do it. I think Emery'd put a stop to it himself if he was able to.
Well, why wouldn't he be able to?
You know, if there was anything at all in Emery's past that was in any way shady, I'd think he was being blackmailed.
Well, Oliver, what's on your mind?
You know how long you've been our doctor here in Appleton?
Well, let's see.
It was 1951 when you hung out your shingle. You've been with us 25 years. 25 years tomorrow, if you want to know the exact dates.
Son of a gun, I wouldn't have believed it. Oh, now, don't tell me that's what the banquet's all about tomorrow night.
Well, at least they didn't tell you the banquet was in your honor. You're right, though. It is.
Now, there's no use everybody going to all that trouble.
Nah, fiddlesticks. I thought I'd better tell you the whole thing today, though. Be just like you to refuse to come if you didn't know it was in your honor.
No, I was planning to be there.
Everyone figures to be there about, 7:30. Have a drink or so and then eat around 8. Presentation, I guess, a few speeches, after dinner.
Presentation?
Yeah, just a little something to commemorate the occasion, that's all.
Well, now, if this town is figuring to put me out to pasture, let me just tell you they've got another thing coming. I've got just as much go in me as I ever had, and I don't...
Now, it's nothing like that. Maybe come your 50th anniversary, but not this time, Emery.
Better not try. 25 years.
Yeah.
Figures to be all over around 10, would you say, tomorrow night's blowout?
About then, I'd guess, yeah.
I got this person pestering me. Not a patient. I might as well see her tomorrow night and get it over with.
Her?
Oh, Daisy knows all about it. If she feels she's got no call to worry, I guess you don't need to either. Is that you in there, Miss Bell?
I thought you were going to call me Nikki.
Mind telling me what you're doing sitting in my car?
Waiting for you, Emery. I should have thought that was plain enough.
I'll have to ask you to get out, Miss Bell. I've got no time for you this afternoon.
That isn't very friendly.
I'm sorry. It's the best that I can do.
I told you I'm not known as a patient individual. And we do have certain matters to discuss, don't we?
At the proper time, maybe. I'll have to ask you to get out of my car, Miss Bell.
As long as we're both here, it seems to
me... I told you I could talk to you tomorrow night, and that's what I aim to talk to you. Since there doesn't seem to be any way out of it altogether. Tomorrow night around 10. Maybe a little later.
How are the pink pills holding out? An adequate supply on hand?
All I need.
I bring up the matter of the pills, Doctor, to remind you, in case you need reminding, how very much you need me.
I know exactly where we stand.
And you'll keep it in mind when we have our little talk tomorrow night, won't you? The fact that I am indispensable to you?
The fact of the matter is, I think you exaggerate that some. Don't you lose sight of the fact that I'm a pretty darn good doctor.
Well, these things will all be on the agenda tomorrow night, won't they? I think, in fact, a complete re-evaluation of our relationship will be in order.
Everyone in Appleton is acquainted with everyone else. And, as in other small towns, there seem to be more workable friendships than are found in large cities. Everybody's business is the property of his neighbor, and there is little fertility for the growth of dishonesty. Put a mysterious stranger in this bucolic setting, however, and trouble is what you are very likely to stir up, as we shall witness when I return shortly with Act Two.
Do you have young children in your home? Toddlers who are into everything before you can say Jack Robinson? Then you are the parent who needs to be especially careful about household chemicals and medicines. This is Robert Fuller for the Food and Drug Administration. Every year, thousands of children are accidentally poisoned in their homes. Many are injured, and some die from ingesting medicines, drain cleaners, bleaches, and other household products. It takes such a few seconds to open a bottle, to swallow the capsule. Yet a few seconds of your time could prevent it. To keep your child safe, keep household products and medicines out of reach. Read the label on all products and heed warnings and cautions. If you are using a product when called to the phone or door, take it with you. Don't leave it for the child to get into. And keep the number of your poison control center where you can get it quickly in an emergency. Remember, children act fast. So do poisons.
The country doctor, member of a dwindling breed, is a man who knows more secrets, perhaps, than any other person in his community. Go to your country doctor to have a wart removed, and you're very likely to have told him about the state of your financial affairs before you leave his office. Our old-fashioned general practitioner, Dr. Emery Peterson, is the receptacle of many confidences, but he keeps his own counsel. Even his best friend, Oliver Sims, Appleton's mayor, is not privy to the doctor's secrets.
I don't understand it. Why does she have to change things around all the time to hide things? Ah. Agnes?
Yes, Oliver?
Where did you hide my good black socks?
Well, they're right where you always keep them, as far as I know.
I didn't mean for you to come and get them. Just tell me where they are. You're supposed to be resting.
I'm not even tired. They're right here, Oliver.
Well, that's my handkerchief drawer.
And you keep your good black socks there, too.
Oh, first I knew of it.
You're dressing awfully early, aren't you? Didn't you say the banquet started at 7:30?
Yeah, I thought I'd drive over and pick Emery up. I don't really trust him to attend a banquet, even in his honor, unless somebody sees to it personally that he gets there.
Not a bad idea. Oliver, do you know a Nicky Bell?
Nicky Bell? No, never heard of him.
It's not a him, it's a her. Daisy says there's something going on between her and Emery.
Emery Peterson? You've got to be kidding. Emery Peterson's the straightest husband I ever knew. Well, you know, present company accepted.
Well, it's not that kind of a thing. At least Daisy says it isn't. She's not sure Emery isn't being blackmailed.
Well, that's almost as silly as the other. Emery never did anything he could be blackmailed for. I'd stake my life on that.
Well, something strange is going on.
Hello, Oliver. I bet you thought I wouldn't be ready, didn't you?
I wouldn't have bet much on it either way.
Hello, Oliver.
Evening, Daisy.
Next time you arrange a big blowout like this, we'd all take it kindly if you would invite the ladies.
Well, we wanted to. No, we did. We talked about it, Daisy, but there just ain't room. Every man in this town's coming, or close to it. We got the high school gym, and that's the biggest room in town. It's just barely going to seat the men. There just wasn't room for the wives.
Honey, a man deserves a night out now and again anyway.
You haven't got time for an argument, so I won't answer that.
Yeah, she's right. We better get moving.
I'm as ready as I'll ever get.
What are you taking your bag for? You won't need your bag, will you?
Just in case the food poisons somebody. I'd feel naked as a jaybird if I didn't carry this thing.
Now, the folks over at the Mayflower Hotel in Sugar Grove are catering the affair armory. They never poisoned anybody yet that I know of.
How's Agnes feeling this evening?
She seems fine. I was trying to get her to rest, but she bounces like a rubber ball.
Fine woman, Agnes is.
Remember, she was telling me a mighty odd thing just before I came over to pick you up.
Odd?
Yeah. About you. It's none of my business, of course. Said you was mixed up with some woman or other.
What?
According to Daisy.
Daisy talks too much.
No, I told Agnes. Of course, it couldn't be true.
Well, in a way it is, and in a way it isn't.
Huh?
I am mixed up with a woman, all right.
What?
Yes, I was half planning on telling you about it tonight, anyway.
Well, I don't understand, of course, but if there's anything I can do to help...
No, I don't know as there is, but I do appreciate the offer.
Well?
I'll tell you all about it after the banquet's over. There's no use of going into it now.
Just keep your shirt on, whoever you are. I'm coming. Oh, the doctor isn't here, Miss Bell.
I know. I came to see you.
Whatever your business is, it's with my husband, not with me.
Still, may I come in?
I'm not going to try to sound hospitable, Miss Bell. You can come in if you insist, but I'm not going to pretend you're welcome.
Thank you. As a matter of fact, Emery assured me you wouldn't let me in, even if I pointed a gun at you. He is wrong sometimes, you see.
You and he are on first-name terms, I take it.
Well, after all, we've known each other for a long time, haven't we? Almost 25 years. However, I'll admit that although I call him Emery, I can't seem to get him to call me Nikki.
Good for him. That's your first name, is it? Nikki?
That's what my friends call me.
I think I'll just keep on calling you Miss Bell, if you don't mind.
Why should you be so... so intolerant of me, Daisy? You don't even know me.
Not well enough for you to call me Daisy, that's for sure.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Peterson. What I mean is, all you know of me is that your husband and I have business to discuss from time to time. It's obvious he's never disclosed to you the nature of this business, so I don't understand why you should hate me as you do.
I don't know, as you say, the nature of your business with the doctor. All I know is that after he's talked to you, he's always in such a terrible mood, he's hardly fit to live with.
Are you perhaps just a little, jealous, Mrs. Peterson?
I've no cause to be jealous. Emery's not that kind of a man.
Oh, my dear Mrs. Peterson. The man doesn't live who isn't that kind of man. In the right hands, I mean.
And you figure your hands would be the right hands?
I hadn't actually given it any thought, but... would you like to make a little wager?
I'm not a betting woman. But I wouldn't be afraid to put some money on a proposition like that.
Oh, Mrs. Peterson, you are a fool.
You want to put your money where your big mouth is?
You're really serious, aren't you? Well, it wouldn't be a matter of money. It would be something harder to come by than money. I advise you to think it over before you enter into it. I'm being friendly.
Don't have to think anything over. I've got complete faith in Emery. What are the stakes?
I'm not prepared to name them just now. You'll know at the proper time. But the wager is made. You agree to that, Mrs. Peterson?
I've got complete faith in Emery.
Well, Emery, I have to compliment you on your acceptance speech. You went right through it from start to finish without insulting a living soul.
And I didn't even speak disrespectfully of the dead, if you noticed, Oliver. Now, look, I'm going to say this only once. I was touched. It really kind of got to me.
Yeah, it was meant to.
Hey, you want to come over to my place for a nightcap?
No, you've got an appointment. You forget about that?
No, I didn't. Fact of the matter is, I think it's about time you met this woman I'm mixed up with.
Well, if you say so, of course.
There's a thing I've been struggling with strictly on my own for a long time now, and I've just about decided it's time to let you and Daisy in on it. Oh, Lord.
What's the matter, Emery?
That's the woman I'm mixed up with. You see her down there at the corner under the streetlight?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Say, Emery, that's a damned attractive woman. Even from here, I can see that.
I never said she wasn't, Oliver.
What's she doing waiting out here?
I told her Daisy wouldn't let her in. Listen, you go on inside and tell Daisy the woman's out here and I'm talking to her.
Yeah.
I'll go down there and see if I can persuade her to stay outside until I've had a couple of minutes alone with you two.
Okay. She sees us all right.
Eyes in the back of her head, that one. You go on inside. Pour yourself a brandy. I won't be long.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you need help, just sing out.
That's not as funny as it sounds.
I saw the two of you drive up. Where's Emery gone?
This person he has an appointment with was standing outside waiting down at the corner.
I ordered her out of the house.
She was in here?
Yes. I'd like to know what they're talking about down there. Come on in, Oliver.
Oh, thanks. Emery suggested I pour myself a brandy, and frankly, I could use it.
Just go on in and help yourself. I'll be right with you.
Wouldn't you like to have one with me?
I was warming some milk for myself. Maybe I'll just put a drop of brandy in it. Seems like the kind of night when a person's justified.
Miss Bell?
Yes, I've been waiting for you, Emery. I do wish you could bring yourself to call me Nikki.
Not a matter of bringing myself or not bringing myself. It's just that I don't want to.
But we've known each other all these years. Don't you get tired of the formality?
I get tired of a whole lot of things.
Things could be different for us, Emery. Very, very different.
Just what are you getting at?
I'm trying to be friends. Can't you understand that?
You're getting off to a pretty late start.
Do you know one of your greatest faults, Emery? You constantly downgrade yourself. Don't you ever look in the mirror? You're a handsome man.
I gave up worrying about whether or not I was handsome shortly after Daisy agreed to marry me.
Perhaps that was a mistake. Emery, tell me. I want the truth now. Do you honestly love Daisy?
With all my heart.
Oh, well, this may take a little longer than I thought.
What are you talking about?
Don't you think we ought to go in? Daisy must be wondering what we're doing out here all this time.
Daisy?
In here, Emery. We're in the living room.
Are you going to tell them about me, both of them?
I think it's about time, don't you? Come on in.
I was about to send Oliver to look for you, the two of you out there all alone.
There was no need.
That's nice.
So, a battle is lost. The war is still on.
What are you two talking about?
Silly woman gavel. Would you like a little brandy, either of you?
Nothing for me, thank you.
I think I'll have one, yes. Fact is, I think I'll have a double.
And this is Mr. Sims, isn't it? The mayor of Appleton. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Nikki Bell.
How do you do?
Actually, my full name is Nicole Beelzebub. A family name. I found it simpler, for earthly purposes, to shorten Beelzebub to Bell. And my friends all call me Nikki. Or a few of them, Old Nick.
According to folklore, when the devil has business dealings with a mortal, the commodity in question is invariably the mortal's soul. And once an agreement with the devil is made, the mortal in question is lost. But there must be some means of escape. In the case of Dr. Peterson, I'm not prepared to give him up as lost. We'll see whether or not I'm justified when I return shortly with Act Three.
The most terrible thing that can happen to any handicapped child is nothing. Nothing to do. Nothing to learn. No place to go. No one to play with. Nothing but long, empty days. Millions of handicapped children are still left out, deprived of the special education they need to live fuller, richer lives. Every child, no matter what his handicap, has the right to the kind of education that will help him develop his full potential. If you have a handicapped child, we can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013. Closer Look is a free service of the United States Office of Education. Right.
Dr. Emery Peterson, it is clear, has been trafficking with the devil. But the devil, a woman? Well, how often have you heard the expression, she-devil? And is the devil not reputed to have the ability to appear in many guises? Besides, considering the number of affairs in which the devil is interested, he must surely need assistance to handle those things to which he is unable to give his personal attention.
Yes, my full name is Nicole Beelzebub.
You are Beelzebub?
I represent the central authority, yes. We have a large and complex organization. My territory is the eastern United States. I am kept busy.
Wouldn't think she'd have time for a simple country doctor, would you?
What we call the essence of a country doctor, a good old-fashioned one, is highly prized. In very short supply, too, I might add.
Emery, how in the world did you ever get yourself into such a mess as this?
Well, you know Dick Salisbury. It was when he had polio. Just a month or two after Daisy and I came to Appleton to live.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he wasn't my first patient.
Your third, Emery. I remember it well.
Anyway, I was going to lose him. I'd just come from the Salisbury place and was sitting in my office badly depressed. I said something like, I'd sell my soul to save that boy.
I would sell my soul to the devil. Those were your exact words. Naturally, I came to call on you.
Dick Salisbury was dying. What could I do? I wasn't even convinced at the time that she was what she is. She offered me Dickie's life and the lives of my other patients in Appleton for... How long was it, we said?
We didn't set a definite period, Emery. My wording was very careful, I remember. This agreement to cover a reasonable span of years.
Miss Bell, may I see the document, please? I'm Dr. Peterson's attorney.
Oh, there is no document. We both remember the terms, and we both pledged our word.
There is no written document?
There never is in these matters, Mayor. You're thinking about the signing in blood and all that nonsense. Old wives' tales.
She's right, Oliver. I pledged my word.
Henry, maybe it'd be better if you let me handle this.
Well, I guess it can't hurt.
Now, Miss, whatever you called yourself, I'd like to explore the time element involved here. This agreement to cover a reasonable span of years, isn't that what you said?
That was the wording of the agreement.
Now, my client may have been willing to sign to agree to something as vague as that, but I find it much too vague. What do you consider a... reasonable span of years.
25 was what I had in mind.
Oh.
25? But that'd be... Well, that's practically right now.
A month or so.
I object.
To whom, Mayor Sims?
It's no good, Oliver. I agreed to her terms, and I've got to live up to my end of the bargain.
There may be a way to negotiate an extension, however.
Well, on what terms?
I should like to be alone with Emery for a short time, if you please.
I think maybe you and Daisy better do as Miss Bell says and leave us alone together for a while.
No, that woman is dangerous.
Oh, don't I know it. All the same, Daisy, I do...
Don't you trust your husband, Mrs. Peterson?
Oh. All right. You just be careful, Emery. That's all I've got to say. Just you be very careful.
Let's go, Daisy.
But we'll be right out here in the hallway if you need us, Emery.
I'll remember that.
You don't want to give up your soul so soon, do you, Emery? It would be just under 2 months.
Of course I don't want to. What would the terms of the compromise be?
Well, to start with, you might try to be a little nice to me. You don't find me totally unattractive, do you, Emery? As a woman...
What's that got to do with the matter at hand?
A great deal. I could allow you another 10, maybe another 20 years even. But we would have to see a great deal more of each other. Our relationship would be greatly changed.
Changed how, Miss Bell?
Well, for one thing, you'd certainly have to start calling me Nicky. And for another... Well, I'm not accustomed to taking the lead in these matters, Emery. Would making love to me be such a bad thing?
Are you suggesting that we have some kind of an affair, Miss Bell?
Since you were too shy to make the suggestion, yes.
I wasn't too shy. It just never occurred to me.
Well, now that it has?
I wasn't brought up quite the way you must have been. I'm happy with Daisy.
For 20 more years of life. Useful life, Emery. You'd better think it over.
When it involves making Daisy unhappy, I don't have to think it over any longer than I already have. I thank you for the offer, but I find I must decline. And now, if that's all, I'll just call Daisy and Oliver back in.
Not yet. I'm not through.
Well, it's most likely for me.
All right. But this isn't the last of it. You have another month or so to think it over.
I won't need them, Miss Bell. Daisy, was that for me, the phone?
It was Agnes, Emery. She's had another attack, I think.
Oh.
She sounded just awful, like she could hardly get her breath at all.
Get me my bag, please.
It's right here. Oliver will drive you over, and I'll come over a little later in our car. Oliver's waiting out there now.
All right, I'll see you later, Daisy.
Wait a minute. We haven't finished our talk.
For right now, we sure have, Miss Bell.
Your precious pink pills won't work anymore. Do you hear me, Emery? They won't work anymore. They won't help anybody anymore.
Was it you made the pink pills? Is that why he agreed to make a deal with you?
That part of it is off as of now. Until he sees his way clear to abiding by my terms.
Didn't get anywhere with him, huh?
So you've won another battle, Mrs. Peterson. But the war has just begun.
If you want my opinion, it's already over. I've got faith in Emery. Incidentally, what were the stakes? Our bet, you know?
They were and still are. Emery's soul is all yours if I lose. Both his and yours are mine if I win. And I intend to win.
Mighty high stakes, I must say. But you've lost already.
Oh, I took two of the pink pills. They're not... They don't seem to be helping much.
Adrenaline. Oh, I wish Daisy were here.
Emery, is she going to be all right?
I hope so. Oh, God, if we only had a hospital in Appleton. She needs to be in the coronary care unit right now.
Well, should we get her into Bangor? It's the closest hospital, isn't it?
I don't want to move her that far.
Well, that woman said the pink pills won't work anymore. And they're not working.
All right, I'll have to ask you to leave me alone with my patient, Oliver. I'm going to see what I can do with God's help.
Oliver, I apologize for bringing this woman, or whatever she is, with me. She just would come. I couldn't stop her.
It's all right, sorry. Come in, Daisy. You too, I suppose, Miss Bell.
How's Agnes?
Well, not at all well. She's having trouble breathing. She seems to be in a great deal of pain.
Can I see her?
Well, he sent me out of the room, but just before that he said he wished you were here, so I guess it might be a good idea for you to go on in at that.
I think I'd like to see her, too.
No. No, you stay out of that room.
Oh, well, if you feel so strongly about it.
I wish you'd just go away and leave all of us alone, you...
She-devil?
I'm too much of a lady to say what I'm thinking. I'll just go on in and see if I can help Emery.
I wouldn't have done her any harm, you know, if I'd gone in to see her.
Listen, could you still make those pink pills of Emery's work?
Yes, I suppose I still could.
Then please do.
Well, in my business, you know, we never give anything away. There'd be a price.
Anything. Anything I own. Everything.
I'd only be interested in the one thing, Mr. Sims. Your material possessions don't tempt me. I'd want your soul.
Well, can you tell? Do you think my wife is going to die?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. Oh. Did you feel a chill?
No. She wouldn't want me to buy her life that way, I know, but...
Why, it's freezing in this house. Don't you have any heat?
Well, Miss Bell, it's summertime. It isn't cold in here at all. If anything, it's too warm.
Freezing? I think somebody's praying in this house. Praying.
Does that make you feel cold?
Stop it. Stop it, will you?
If it makes Agnes well, if you'll make those pills of Emery's work again, I'll ask whoever it is to stop praying.
Oh. Oh, that's better. It's stopped now.
Emery's going to stay in there with her for a while, but he says she'll be all right now. I mean, the worst of it is over now. She's breathing all right. There doesn't seem to be any more pain.
Oh, thank God.
That's exactly who you have to thank, not her.
Can you be sure of that?
Yes, I can. I am.
Mr. Sims and I made a deal not 2 minutes ago. I was to make those pink pills work again, and he was...
No. We made no deal, Miss Bell. I don't like the way you conduct business.
Well, maybe we hadn't quite completed negotiations, but we had an understanding, and it seems
to
me...
She's resting now. She's sleeping naturally.
Thank you. Thank you, Emery.
I think I'll stick around for the rest of the night just in case she needs me. But she's going to be all right.
Oh, that's very good of you.
Miss Bell, I did that in there without your help. Agnes Sims is still alive, and you had nothing whatever to do with it. I don't need you anymore.
An agreement is an agreement. You're not going to wriggle out of it now. You made a bargain with me, and I expect you to live up to your end of it.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'll do that. I'm not trying to get out of it. Oliver, I'm going to arrange for an ambulance from Bangor to pick Agnes up tomorrow and take her back there to the hospital. They have an excellent cardiologist on the staff over there, Dr. Benson. Fine man. I'll turn all of Agnes's records over to him, and he can take it from there.
But I don't want you off the case.
Well, you see, it may take Agnes a long time to get completely back on her feet. A good long time. And I won't be available after a month or so.
Emery?
Well, whatever you think of Miss Bell and the outfit she represents, she's right when she said I made a deal with her. Whatever else we may have against her, she did live up to her end of the bargain. And now I expect to live up to mine.
Emery, I'll give you one last chance. 20 more years. You don't have to stay here in this little backwater place if you don't want to. I'll take you to New York. I'll make you the most important doctor in the city, in the world. You can have literally anything you want.
I want to live out the rest of my days here in Appleton with Daisy and my friends.
Emery, you say you've made a deal with this woman, but I don't think the agreement was valid to begin with.
It was valid in every way.
Well, I'm sure, the way you describe your organization, that you must have a superior, someone you're answerable to?
Yes, my uncle.
Uh-huh. And the purpose of your organization is to promote what we mortals call evil, is that right?
That's essentially true, yes.
And what happens to one of your co-workers if he or she is found guilty of promoting just the reverse?
Good instead of evil?
That's what I mean, yes.
It's never happened as far as I know.
Well, what if it did?
He'd be in trouble, I should imagine.
Mm-hmm.
What has all this to do with the case of Dr. Peterson?
Just this. You've been guilty of promoting nothing but good in the town of Appleton for 25 years. Thanks to your efforts, hundreds of people in Appleton are alive and well today who might otherwise have been dead or invalided years ago. What would your uncle say to that?
Why, that's ridiculous.
Why, Miss Bell, you've been a real benefactor to the town of Appleton.
Don't use that word.
Benefactor? Well, just look at the facts.
But I've got Emery's soul to show for it. What do you say to that? I'll be bringing Emery in soon.
And also bringing all your good works in Appleton to the attention of your, uncle. Now, do you think that'd be wise?
Well, he'll understand.
Well, what he'll understand, I suspect, is that he's been harboring a downright angel in his organization. Now, if you'll take my advice, Miss Bell...
I don't want your advice.
Well, if you'll take it anyway, you'll go far away from Appleton and forget that you ever got mixed up with a country doctor by the name of Peterson.
If there's anything in this world that I hate, it's a down east lawyer. All right. All right, all of you. But you haven't seen the last of me.
She'd already lost, anyway. Emery's soul and mine, too. The minute Emery refused to go off to New York with her, she lost. ¶¶
If Nikki Bell's uncle has the intelligence network I've always suspected him of having, the odds are pretty good he'll learn all about her good works, even though she didn't bring Emery Peterson in with her. It would be interesting to know what his reaction would be. Interesting, but not interesting enough to tempt me to go down there and inquire. I'll be back shortly.
And now let's look in on yet another carpool.
Well, Alice, it's our anniversary.
That's right, Gert. Today it's 2 years exactly that we've been carpooling to the office together.
Oh, my, how time flies.
Tempus fugit, Gert.
Do you have any idea, Alice, I mean, how much money we've saved by carpooling?
I have no idea.
Well, I've been keeping track. The way I figure, between us, we've saved $708.23.
You certainly have a way with figures, Gert.
Thank you. Speaking of figures, Alice, have you noticed Marion's figure at the office lately?
Have I noticed? Why do you think she comes up in the freight elevator?
You know, she really ought to reduce.
The U.S. Department of Transportation, the Advertising Council, and this station remind you to double up. Share a ride with a friend. And speaking of reducing, carpooling reduces noise and air pollution and traffic congestion.
Speaking of congestion, Alice, do you have anything for a stuffy nose?
I don't know, Gert. Look in the glove compartment.
Dr. Emery Peterson is still a highly respected citizen of Appleton, alive, well, and crotchety as ever. He still prescribes pink pills for many of his patients' ailments, and finds that, even though they're made of nothing more curative than good down east maple sugar, they work very well. Our cast included Leon Janney, Rosemary Murphy, Joe Silver, and Catherine Byers. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule, CertainTeed fiberglass attic insulation, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
The preceding program was broadcast with the permission of the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Ah, yes, the sun is high, the water's fine, and you're out for a day on the boat. It doesn't take much thought at all to realize that boats are not as stable as good old Mother Earth. Boats can dip and bounce in any direction. That's part of the fun of boats. But it's not so much fun if you dip and bounce yourself right out of the sea. The U.S. Coast Guard says that falls overboard are one of the major causes of boating accidents. Be sure the weight in your boat is balanced and not over the load limit. And stay down in front or anywhere else. Falls overboard are all wet. The Coast Guard Auxiliary has safe boating courses to help you be a better boater.
Think safety when you're on the water, wherever you may be. Drifting on some lazy river. We're sailing out to sea.
I like the way the forest sounds, the way the leaves rustle in the wind and fall to the ground and crunch under your feet, the way the birds sing and the chipmunks chatter, the way a squirrel scrambles up a tree. I like the way the forest smells, too. Air's fresh, And you can tell the difference between one kind of tree and another just by smelling them. But did you know we can destroy all that beauty in just one careless second? That's why I'm asking you to please be careful with fire. Because when we lose a forest, we lose a lot more than meets the eye. I ought to know. I'm Ray Charles.
A public service on behalf of the Forest Service, State Foresters, and the Ad Council.
The U.S. Department of Transportation, the Advertising Council, and this station remind you to double up, share a ride with a friend. Today we're talking to a carpooling expert.
That's right. I'm an expert in this. I've studied carpooling forever.
Mm-hmm. Who actually invented carpooling?
Way back, a Neanderthal man did it, where he sat on a rock, and he asked another person to sit on the rock. Unfortunately, the rock did not move, but he was not aware
of it. But that was kind of the very fundamental beginnings of carpooling. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us, why is it important today to carpool?
Because why take two cars? Why use energy with gasoline when you can go together, get to know each other?
Double up, yeah.
That's right. You can share a ride with a friend, or, you know, somebody that works with you. You can talk, and you'll get there in no time.
You get relaxed.
Relax. You won't be lonely. Mm-hmm. It's no fun being lonely. I was lonely last year. I went in the closet and played with my shoes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific friend that you carpool with?
Excellent friend, yes.
How do we get the term carpool? Where does that come from?
Ah, named after Mr. Henry Carpool.
Oh, there was actually a person named Carpool.
Carpool, yes, the New Hampshire Carpools.
Mm-hmm.
Now the rain's Good evening. That was Jimmy Lunsford, Blues in the Night. And that's exactly what you're listening to, Blues in the Night with Pat DeWolf. That's me and my engineer, George. How are you doing, George?
Oh, pretty good. How about yourself, Pat?
Oh, real good, real good.
Good.
I know. You're listening to WUWM-FM 89.7 Milwaukee. WUWM Milwaukee.
Right.
Right. For the next 2 hours, we'll be playing blues for you and some other things. We're going to start out with a set by Jimmy Dawkins. He's a young musician from Chicago. These next few cuts are taken from the Montreux Blues Festival, I think it was 71. And the last selection, it's Dust My Room in Sweet Home Chicago. There's a harmonica solo on it. And this is recorded live. And the solo, the harmonica is done by somebody in the audience, which that's kind of neat. So this is Jimmy Dawkins.
Thank you.
Thank you.
the ministry to you know what I'm talking about. If you ever been mistreated, I know you know what I'm talking about. Fire along, yeah. She had the nerve to throw me out. Five long years gonna steal me, a chunk steel like a slave. I came home straight out of Eden. I gave all of my pain. Five long years, and you know just what I'm talking about. Five long years for one woman. She had the nerve to throw me out.